Well, good evening. It's so good to be here. You know, the sunshine is finally shining and I'm leaving. That's the way it always works, isn't it? It's good to be here. Thank you, Pastor Rich, and also Pastor Donald and Marissa and Kim was out of our church at Mountain View. I don't know if she was there when you were there or not. Was she? Yeah, and so seeing some of our old church family, and you know, that's the amazing thing about being an evangelist. I was telling Pastor yesterday that, you know, as I travel, I get to meet my brothers and sisters before I get to heaven. And now, rather, when I pray for you, I get to see your faces and names and folks I've met, and that's really special. So thank you for a wonderful opportunity. Tonight, if you're turning your Bibles to the first Psalms, if you would, Psalms 1. And when you get there, let's just stand one more time, please, as we honor God by the reading of His precious Holy Word and inspired by the Holy Spirit. Psalms 1, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so very much. And Lord, we realize that salvation is free, but it costs you everything. We also realize that your desire is to bless your children beyond anything that we could ever dream. We realize that you desire to give your very best to us. And God, I pray tonight as you speak to us from your word, that we will have listening ears and open hearts and loving spirits. God, do in our hearts tonight what only you can. And Lord, if there's anyone in our midst tonight that does not know the sweet Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, tonight you're not asleep, you're not dead. You make sure that we're all here. So Lord, I pray if the Holy Spirit leads and opens that heart, that they will surrender to the will of God tonight and trust God and Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, have your will and way. In Jesus' sweet, precious name, we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you notice there in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man." I want to change that word to, "Blessed is the Christian." Blessed is the Christian that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I want you to think of the thought tonight, becoming a blessed Christian. The Bible tells us as God's children that we will either have God's curse or God's blessing. That word curse in scripture just means that we will either live under our own flesh, our own strength, our own doing things our way, or we will either do it with God's blessing, doing it His way. And you know, it's a whole lot better when we do things God's way. And so, too many Christians today are living their lives in defeat instead of victory. Our purpose tonight is to turn our defeat into victory and to turn God's curse into a blessing. Aren't you glad that every day is a new day with the Lord? Aren't you glad God doesn't quit on us? Amen. Thank the Lord. And so we have two choices, as we see here in verse 6. It says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." Now notice the Bible says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ways are for death." See, man thinks that his way is better. But then it says that the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so the first thing I want us to see tonight is, blessed is a Christian that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, listen to advice. of lost friends, or maybe neighbors, or folks that we work with, or psychologists. Now, if you want to lay on my couch for an hour and pay me $150 an hour, I'll listen to you all day. But the Bible says that he that lacketh wisdom, ask Buddha, ask Mohammed. No, the Bible says he that lacketh wisdom, ask who? Help me out. Ask who? Ask God. That's it. And so the book of Proverbs is God's wisdom. And not only need to know the Bible, we need to know the mind of God as well. Turn with me tonight over to Proverbs chapter 2 in your Bibles, if you would. Go over to Proverbs chapter 2. And if you notice with me in chapter 2 here, I want us to take a look at verse 6 through verse 15. Notice in verse 6 the Bible says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So if I'm going to be a wise Christian, I need to go to the source of wisdom. And the source of wisdom is God. For, you know, so that's why the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. That means it's not ignorant, it's not stupid. It's sound. You can trust it. You can bank on it. You see, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Aren't you glad, dear Christian, that God has preserved the way of his saints? Say amen. And then he says here in verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Here it is, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. You see, too many times, you'll see Christians, one minute they're in church, one minute they're out of church, one minute they're up and down. Christians, you see, there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Wisdom is taking the knowledge that God has given you and applying it to your life, which gives you understanding. That's a wonderful thing. Isn't that a wonderful thing when God shows you something in Scripture and you've been there many times before and all of a sudden the light comes on, amen? Thank God. And you know, and then when you apply it to your life and you see the Word of God does what it says it would do, I mean, it's exciting. You know, it really works, you see. And so, verse 12, the Bible says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. In other words, that's that old man, that old flesh, you see. And then verse 13, who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, delight in the foreness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they're forward in their path. Folks, listen, it's time you shoot that old man, amen. Time you just put off that old man. You know, blessed is the Christian that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What are Christians doing? Going to the world for advice. What are Christians doing? Going to lost people for advice. We should be going to the source of wisdom, who is God himself. And so God's way and the world's ways always, always oppose each other. And dear Christian, tonight, as we come to the Word of God, if you notice in verse 2, it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Turn back with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I know you're familiar with it. But sometimes we overlook things. I want you to see something that many times we Christians just, we read this, but we overlook it. It doesn't stand out to us. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Notice in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, this book of the law, that's that King James Bible you got in your lap over there. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. See, Christians want to claim everything. But the Bible is telling us, first you got to go to God for wisdom, and then you come to the book of the law, meditate it day and night, and once you've done that, then you need to observe and do according to all that's written then. Then thy way will be made prosperous and good success. Talking spiritually, of course. And so, observe and do. It means obedience. Blessed is a Christian are those who live by the word of God. Godly counsel. Now, let's go back to Psalms and let's look at verse 3, if you would. Go back to Psalms 1 and let's look at verse 3. Notice here in verse 3, the Bible says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now, you know, the fruit of my marriage is not how good of a husband I am. If my wife was here, she'd say amen. But the fruit of my marriage is my offspring, our children, produced by our marriage. And so what he's saying here is that a godly Christian, a blessed Christian, is going to have fruit in his life to reproduce to his family tree. You see, we are reproducing in our children and our grandchildren. And there'll be fruit from being a godly and blessed Christian, because you have gone to God for wisdom. You have meditated on the word of God and acted and do and perform and had great success in your spiritual life and relationship with the Lord. And you reproduce that in your family tree. So you see, dear friends, how this is so important. You know, godly counsel, the way of the Lord, will be passed on to your children and your grandchildren for generations. Second of all, number two, I want you to see with me, blessed is a Christian that standeth not in the way of sinners. Blessed is a Christian that standeth not in the way of sinners. To better understand this put on and put off principle, let's go over in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Let's go over in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, notice what it says here in verse 20. And verse 20 through verse 32 we're going to take a look at. But first I'm going to read verse 32. And notice in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now how many of us try to do that? Amen? It's frustrating, isn't it? I mean, you know, at our house and in the living room in my study, we have this on the wall. Now, I'm not criticizing or being critical of putting scripture on the wall. That's a good thing to do. But you know what I found out? That after a while, it doesn't affect you anymore. You just get so used to seeing it. And so, and sometimes folks have a fussing and fight right down in front of it. And you know, and then we get frustrated and we feel guilty because we've sinned. And so what I'm saying here is it's easier said than done. And most of the time, our problem is that we're living in the old man. Now, the Bible doesn't just tell us what to do and what not to do. The good news is it tells us how to do it and shows us how to do it. So we're going to take a look at that here right now. If you notice in verse 20, Ephesians chapter 4, look there in verse 20. Notice in verse 20 the Bible says, but ye have not so learned Christ. So if you're going to be what I call an Ephesians 4:32 Christian, if you're going to be a blessed Christian, if you're going to be the kind of Psalms 1 Christian the Bible talks about, you got to learn Christ. You got to put on the mind of Christ and renew your mind daily, as the Bible teaches. Then another thing, look here in verse 21. Notice in verse 21 it says, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Another first thing you got to do is you got to learn Christ. Then you got to act upon what you've heard, what you've learned, what he's taught you. You got to do something with it. You got to act upon it. And then notice what he says here in verse 22. He says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So the first thing I got to do is I got to learn Christ. Second thing I got to do, I got to act upon what I've learned, what I've heard, and what I've been taught. Then it's time to put off the old man. See, this is what we try to do. We go over to Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And then we go over to verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation the old man. How are you doing? You cannot put off the old man. Only the Holy Spirit through you can. And that's why we need to make no provision for the flesh. We need to feed the Spirit of God. So notice what he says here too. So we got to learn Christ. We got to act upon what we've heard, what we've learned, what we've been taught. We got to put off the old man. Then look in verse 24. He says, and that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now it's time to put on the new man. Look what verse 26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, now men, I know that you don't do, Christian men don't get angry, do they? Well, let's pretend they do. you know, that's just like one time my wife, her name is Sandy, I call her Scooter because I get too confused. It's just one woman, just so you don't get confused. But anyway, it was a busy day. And we both had been very, very, very busy. And she was going to fix supper. So she bought these Swedish meatballs. Now, she didn't make them. But she bought these Swedish meatballs. And so I took one bite into them. And I'm telling you, they were gross. They were awful. And she's watching me, you know, and she's smirking, you know, and she says, now, is something wrong, Randy? I says, now, Scooter. Now, ladies, notice how I handled this. I said, now, Scooter. I says, I know you love me, and I know you tried hard to please me, but don't you ever, ever fix that again. So she gets this brainstorm. You know, we had a dog patch, and she says, well, give it the patches. I kid you not, the dog would not eat it. That dog would eat anything. So then she gets this brainstorm. She says, well, you want me to fix you something? I says, I'm not going for round two. I'll fix a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Oh, me. But you see, it would have been so easy to say, what's the matter with you? Don't you know how to cook? What are you doing, trying to kill me? But you see the difference when we submit to the Spirit and let the Spirit control us? It's not easy, is it? If it was, we'd be doing it, wouldn't we? Okay, so then he says here, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Always realize that anger is the flip side of the same emotion of love. And just like you can't force somebody to love you, you cannot force somebody to hate you or to be angry at you. It's always a choice. It's a decision. You choose the emotion of anger. And always remember this Bible principle. Always attack problems, not people. That person you're angry at, Christ died for them too. And so, blessed is a Christian that standeth not in the way of sinners. Let's continue here in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. In other words, don't just stop telling, don't just stop lying, tell the truth. Some of us brag all the time, you know, well, I don't lie to my kids, I don't lie to my family. Pop, Dad, how many times do you call into work and tell them that you were sick when you were out golfing or fishing or just hanging around the house? See, it's not just telling a lie. We can live a lie. Deception, deceiving is also a lie. And so, you know, if we're going to be blessed Christians, we're going to have to be men and women of character and integrity, where your word is your word. And your bond is your bond. You know, if you can't trust a Christian, who can you trust? And so, blessed is Christian standing not in the way of sinners. If you notice here in verse 26, the Bible says, be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 26, neither give place to the devil. The truth of the matter is, many times in most of our lives, we give the devil a foothold. Now, notice in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That is a responsibility. That is a decision. Notice it says, let not. So he's telling us to make a decision here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. You see, folks, God did not give you grace so you could be stingy. God gave you grace so you could give it to others. How are people ever going to know that God is a God of grace if when he gives it to us, we don't give it out to other people? You see, and if you can't give grace to especially those that you live with and sleep with and eat with, shame on you. Under your own roof and under your own household, that you may minister grace unto those that are hearers, you know. Now, how many of you ladies work a job? How many of you ladies work a job? Okay. Now, you ever notice that, now, she's working hard. She's helping you with your finances, and you know, and the finances of your family and home. She's tired too. And you know, dad, he comes in the house, sits down, reads his paper. Do for me. Give me, when's supper going to be ready? You know how they are. And then she comes in the door, you know, and the first thing, she says, I know us Christian men don't do this, but we're pretending, remember? Take his dirty socks and his dirty clothes and throw them in the chair, you know, and don't put them in a hamper. You guys don't do that, do you? And, you know, and she'll come in and she'll say, I'm so sick and tired. You know, women never get sick or tired. They always get sick and tired. I'm so sick and tired of picking up your dirty socks. Or could I have said, you know, honey, I work hard. I try to help provide for our family and be a team. And could you please at least pick up your clothes after yourself? Didn't I just say the same thing? But see, the difference is when we have the blessings of God, where we have him as godly counsel, when we learn Christ, when we act upon what we've heard and what we've learned, what we've been taught, when we put off the old man, when we renew our mind and our spirit after true righteousness and holiness, and then we, what? When we put on the new man, then that's when we're going to see victory in our lives. Because this is the blessing of God. This is that blessed Christian, you see, that we're striving for. You know, you may have your position right, but your relationship is not right. And that's why it's so important. He tells us here in verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more. In other words, if you got sticky fingers, don't just stop being a thief, but take those very hands and work hard and help those that are in need. Do good with them, you see. And then in verse 31, you know, put all these things away from you that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. As we saw in Sunday school this morning, all those things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And it grieves the Holy Spirit when we don't learn Christ, when we don't act upon what we've learned and been taught and what we've heard, and when we don't put off the old man, when we don't renew our mind and our spirit, and we don't put on the new man. Hey, listen, folks, God did not give us this responsibility to do if we didn't have, he gave us everything we need to do it. He's not expecting us to do it. He just needs our cooperation. He's going to do it through us. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. And then I want us to say this together. Would you read this with me together? Let's go back to verse 32, because now it's time to be this Ephesians 4:32 Christian. And be ye kind, help me out, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now notice that you can't be kind and be mean at the same time. They oppose each other. Look further in that verse. It says tender-hearted. You can't be tender-hearted and hard-hearted at the same time. Forgiving one another. You can't forgive somebody and carry a grudge at the same time. Because you see, they oppose each other. Well, how am I going to do this? I'm going to learn Christ. I'm going to act upon what I've heard and what I've learned and what I've been taught. I'm going to put off the old man. I'm going to renew my mind and my spirit after true righteousness and holiness. And I'm going to put on the new man through Christ Jesus. Oh, how it's so wonderful to be a blessed Christian. When we seek God for wisdom, and then we reproduce that in our family tree, folks, so that we can live. You know, it's one thing to live in a saved home, and it's another thing to live in a Christian home. Is Christ the head of your home? Is Christ the center of your life? Let me ask you this way. Is God just involved in your life, or is He your life? Too many folks just involve God. And then we wonder why we're so defeated. Number three, thirdly, and finally, let's look at, go back to Psalms again, Psalms 1. And Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the Christian that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is a Christian who sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. Now, if you're the type of Christian who allow those around you to tell jokes and laugh and make fun of the things of God and your faith in Jesus Christ, you will never become a blessed Christian. You know, some of you men are ready to fight if somebody says something or makes fun of your family. Why is it that our Savior, our Father, that we take so much ridicule and joking and do nothing, say nothing? And they scorn us. And we're living in the days of the last days where more folks are scorning us. And we sit there like a little beat up cat or a rabbit, afraid to say anything. Thank God for 117 years, this church hasn't been afraid to say anything. That you've stood, and now you've got the next generation with a great pastor. He didn't pay me to say that. I mean that. He is a great pastor and family and those that are here that are supportive and behind. Hey, your best years are yet to come. And doing it God's way by being a blessed Christian. You see, dear friends, let me just say here that blessed Christians have little toleration for ungodly scorners. We love them and we try to win them to Christ, but we do not stand quietly by while they ridicule everything that Christ stands for. Now, let me say tonight in closing, think about Peter. Peter over in John chapter 18, remember, he was standing by a fire. Now, the first thing when we see Peter in John chapter 18, he's walking in the council of the ungodly. In other words, he's walking with the Pharisees, Sadducees, the religious leaders, those who are plotting to put his Savior to death. But it didn't just end there. You know, just like those worldly friends of yours that you hang around a lot with. Well, it's not going to affect me. Ask Peter. It wasn't second thing when we see Peter and John chapter 18. The next time we see him, he's standing there warming his hands. He's spending more time with his worldly friends than he is with his Christian family and with the other disciples. And it wasn't long after that, here he is sitting there. Now he's fellowshipping with them. And this handmaker, aren't you one of his? I'm sure I saw you with the others in the garden. Oh, not me. And he went to the flesh and started cursing and swearing and said he never knew him. Just like you do, because you're around your worldly friends too much. And they have influenced you. But what happened was, thank God, in John chapter 21, there's another fire of coals. And the Lord's there fixing breakfast. How would you like the Lord to fix you breakfast tomorrow morning? Wouldn't that be neat? I mean, some biscuits and gravy and grits and Virginia ham. Are you hungry yet? I know it's a southern breakfast. You can bear me a minute. And, you know, he's fixing breakfast. And then they come and they sit there and the Lord Jesus serves them breakfast. There is a fire of coals in your life where you got out of the will of God. Peter got out of the will of God. And the good news is this. Peter moved, not Christ. Christ's still there waiting for him to return. And that's why in John chapter 21, and he comes to those fire coals, that was a reminder of those other fire coals where he got out of the will of God. And you see, dear Christian friend tonight, there's a fire coals in your life and my life. And wherever you got out of the will of God, he's still there waiting for you. He's waiting for you to return. He hasn't left. The great lesson that Peter learned from this was that over in John chapter 18, if you remember, oh Lord, I will never deny you. I'll die for you. But the interesting thing is that Christ knew Peter better than Peter knew himself, just like he knows us. And so it wasn't long after that that he goes to John chapter 21 and Peter falls in love with Jesus Christ. And for the first time in his life, it's one thing to love Jesus. I'm sure you do. And it's another thing to trust him. Peter learned from this experience that he could no longer ever deny his Lord. So he denied himself. And he was willing to be crucified upside down. And from John chapter 21 was a turning point in Peter's life when he fell in love with Jesus Christ at another fire of coals. And that happened when he got back into the will of God. You know, folks, Christians are just happy he's their Savior, happy they're going to heaven. But nobody's too concerned about God's will today. You do not have to live a defeated life. You can live your life in victory. Say amen. And dear Christian, listen. You may be saved and on your way to heaven, but if you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful, you have God's curse on your life. You are a defeated Christian and miserable. But the good news is this. The good news is God wants to turn your curse into a blessing. Amen. Psalms 1 verse 3. Becoming a blessed Christian is a decision to know God, live for him, that his dear son may be glorified by your life. Becoming a blessed Christian. Folks, listen. Let's stop making all the excuses. Let's stop playing Christian. Let's stop playing church. It's time that lost world out there saw the real deal. Something that's real and genuine. You know, I tell you why. You know the reason why I want to be a blessed Christian? No such thing as super saints, by the way. You know, I don't want to be a blessed Christian of the world. Look at that guy, man. He's super. But I am so sick and tired of that lost world laughing and making fun of us. I want them to see that he's real and he's genuine and he lives within me. He lives within me so that a lost and dying world will want the kind of life that we're supposed to have. They want the life, the kind of life that only Christ can give. And folks, the only way we're going to do that is put off that old man. You got to learn Christ, and you got to act upon what you've learned and what you've heard and what you've been taught. And then you got to put off the old man, and you got to renew your mind and your spirit, which after true righteousness and holiness, and you got to put on the new man. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Let's please stand. Every head bowed, please. No.